bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study.
The light of the world is Jesus.
Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. What a wonderful text that is in the Scriptures, said by John the Baptist in our study today. Welcome to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study. My name is David Summerford, and I'm glad to be your Bible study host. And today we're studying in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. We're going through the Gospel of John, verse by verse, and we've just started. This is our third lesson. And it's the story of John the Baptist. Last week we were discovering who he was not. He was not the Messiah. Today we're going to discover who the Messiah is. I know that's not going to be that surprising to our listeners that it's Jesus Christ. But at one time, this was unknown. In fact, it was even unknown to John the Baptist at the very first of his life. But something happened to him, and that's related in our story today as we study the Gospel of John with this wonderful declaration of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Let us go to John chapter 1. Verse number 28 is where we left off. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. Bethabara is a name of a place at the Jordan River where it was shallow water and you could get across by walking. Also, that made baptizing a good thing because you wouldn't sink over your head. You could walk in waist deep or so on and then have the what is typically seen in the baptismal scene today when we immerse someone into a body of water. But what I really want to say is the idea of crossing over the Jordan, that is a symbol of going into the promised land. And that's what John the Baptist is doing for us. We're going from one era into another era, from the era of the law into the era of the promise. And that was pretty much last Sunday's study in the book of John. And that brings us to this Sunday's study, which is centered around this grand verse. The next day, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29. Today in our study, we're going to look at four major ideas. First, we're going to see the title, which obviously is the Lamb of God. Then we're going to see the identifying sign that was given to John so he would know how to make that announcement. Then we're going to look at Jesus' beginning of his ministry and calling people and inviting them to his house. Come sup with me. Come to where I am. Come and see. We're going to look at the invitation. And then we're going to look at a specific call, the call of the Apostle Peter. So the title, the Lamb of God, the identifying sign, the Holy Spirit coming upon Christ like a dove at baptism, the invitation, come and see, and then the call, you are Peter, you're a rock. So the title, that's the first part of our study today, and the title is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, a lamb is meek and mild, and Jesus is meek and mild, but that's not why he is the Lamb of God. According to this text, when John makes his statement, he says, he's the one who takes away the sin of the world. A lamb that is the sacrificial sacrifice to pay for sin. That's what Jesus is. He is the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, there are several instances that are pointing to this moment. It happened at the very beginning of time in the book of Genesis, in the first generation of children, Cain and Abel. That's the first time a sacrifice in the Word of God is mentioned. And Abel gives a sacrifice from the sheep that he tended as a shepherd. This was acceptable to God. Cain's offering was not accepted, but Abel's was, in pointing the way that the way of of rightful sacrifice will involve a lamb. Let's also think about Abraham. Abraham, in going to make a sacrifice where he felt that God had called him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, he goes up the mountain and Isaac asks him a question. Here's the fire material. Here's the wood and everything we need, but we're missing something. We're missing the sacrifice. And Abraham told him, well, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And indeed, when they got to the top of the mountain, Isaac was strapped to the altar and the knife starts to be raised to take his life. And God says, wait a minute, Abraham, look. Look and see. Over there in the thicket, there is a ram caught in the thicket. God is providing that lamb to take the place of your own son. Isaac can live because the ram will take its place. Behold the Lamb of God. Abraham, look into the thicket. Behold the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Next, let's go a little further into the story in the book of Exodus, the story of the Passover. At Passover, the final plague of the 10 plagues, there was a death angel that was going to come. And what happened? The death angel didn't touch the Israelites because they were covered with the blood of an animal. What animal? A sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb. And Jesus, when he came to die, died at Passover because he is the Passover lamb. Now, these are Old Testament stories over 1,000 years old when Jesus comes onto the scene. And now, many thousands for us. But when Jesus comes on the scene, a long time ago, and yet he is always the Lamb of God. In prophecy, he is seen in Isaiah 53. There is a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and it is quiet. It doesn't make a noise. It goes willingly to its death to make a sacrifice for sin. This passage in Isaiah 53 was read by the eunuch of Ethiopia. And Philip preached to him from that very same text, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God. So Abel points us to the Lamb. Abraham points us to the Lamb. Passover points us to the Lamb. Isaiah 53 points us to the Lamb. And then finally, John the Baptist says, we're no longer pointing. There he is. There is the Lamb of God. Now, I want one more final lamb reference in the Bible. In the book of Revelation, the last book, there is seen a victorious lamb, and he has a book. And the lamb's book describes the lamb as being slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ has always been the Lamb of God. It has always been God's plan to send his son to die for us. Jesus has not died when John points him out. It wasn't like the resurrected Christ. There's the Lamb of God. No, this was in just pointing him out. This is what his ministry is. He's about to enter the public ministry. It's going to end in sacrifice. This is the Lamb of God, and he's come for the sins of the world. Are you in the world? I am. You are. Your sin is dependent upon the cleansing of Jesus Christ. If you're going to get rid of it, the only way to get rid of it is through the Lamb's sacrifice. I want you to look. Look at Jesus. Don't look anywhere else for your answer to sin. It's in Jesus and Jesus alone. So we spent a good deal on the title. Now let's go on to the next step. How did he know to say that? This is he of whom I said, this is John 1:30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world, he was before me. Now he's there, and I'm pointing them out, the identifying sign. John says in verse 31 of our text, I did not know him. That is, I didn't know who it was going to be. I knew I was supposed to point out a Messiah. God told me that when I was baptized, and someone's going to come, and the Spirit's going to come on him, and that'll be the one. I did not know him, but he that should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him, that is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. I saw the Spirit coming down. So when John says about Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, the baptism already had taken place. He's referring to something. It's thought that this part of John is written after Jesus has been baptized and after the 40 days of being in the wilderness and the very beginning, therefore, of the public ministry of Christ. And that makes sense because he's going to begin to call the apostles. He's going to be calling Andrew and Peter and others to follow him. John again says, I did not know him. Now, he knew him as Jesus, my cousin, but he didn't know he was the Messiah until the baptism. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize, that would be God the Father, with water said to me, upon whom ye see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So the identifying sign is that the Spirit would come in the shape of a dove. And we also know from the other gospel accounts that God testified of his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So John now repeats what God the Father said that time of baptism. And I have seen, he saw the Spirit descending like a dove, and testified, this is John 1:34, I have seen, that's John has seen, and testified that this is the Son of God. Same thing that God said out loud. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is him. The title, the Lamb of God. The identifying sign is the dove, the Spirit coming like a dove. So, once again, we have the title mentioned to us in verse 35 and 36. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. So the first day, he just says it as soon as he sees Jesus. But now he wants to point to his disciples and tell them, you don't follow me anymore. I was telling you that one was coming who would baptize you with the Holy Spirit, not just with water. I told you of the coming Messiah. I now tell you, there he is. Behold him. There's the Lamb of God. There's two of them. Now, we only know one of their names for sure. It's Andrew, and we learn that in our own text right here in these next few words that we're going to read. We don't know the other one. It could have been John. Could have been James. John is a educated guess that a lot of scholars use because he knows so much about the story. But, of course, he could get it in other ways as well. But some people think it's John. But we know Andrew is one of the two. Verse 37 of the first chapter of John, the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. At following the instruction of John the Baptist. And that's what all preachers do. John is like the first gospel preacher. The gospel preacher doesn't save. He points you to the Savior. Behold him. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And that brings us to invitations. Then Jesus turned. He sees two men following him. John sent them, said, you go, you follow him. He's the one. Then Jesus turned, seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, that's what rabbi means. Where are you staying? And so implied in that is, can we come where you are staying? We want to know more about you. We've just been told something marvelous about you. We've been told that you're the Son, the Lamb of God, which takes the sin of the world away. We have been told you're the Son of God. We've been told that the Holy Spirit came upon you and that John the Baptist says that was the sign of the coming Messiah. We have been following John the Baptist, and so we're interested in learning much more about you. Now look what Jesus says to them. He said to them, "Come and see." In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 28 is an often repeated scripture. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and learn of me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me." And now, in a similar way, he's saying, "Come and see. See where I live. See where, hear my words. Follow my example." And these will not only come and see him that day, they're going to make a lifelong commitment. They're going to be following him all the days of the public ministry of Christ. They will have gone from the teaching of John the Baptist past the resurrection, and then they will be the heads of the first church. They will be the leaders of the first church. And they will, like John, continue to say, "Look at Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God." And they will say to you, "Come and see." And I say to you, "Come and see." But the beautiful thing is, it's not just me, a human being, saying. It is God saying, "Come and see." It's like God's invitation for us to pray. Come boldly to the throne of grace. How gracious God is. How inviting he is. Do not be afraid of going to God. So, "Well, I have to be afraid. I'm a sinner." No, that's why you should come. You come because he can take away your sin. He is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. So hearing the invitation, they responded. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. And so it is. There's not much better invitation than that. Jesus says it and the ministers repeat it. We're going to see that again next week in our study, where Philip will invite someone and see. So now we're told the identity of one of those people. In John 1, 40 and 41, we read these words. One of the two people that John the Baptist said, "Hey, go look at him. He's the Messiah." And they did, and they heard, and they said, where do you live? And he says, "Come and see. Come dwell with me. Abide with me." So one of the two who heard John speak and followed him, not followed John, but followed the him who John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. So that tells us specifically who it was, you know, which two people that we're continuing the stories, what I'm trying to say. We are not in a new place. This is the continuation of the story. Now, why do we need to mention this man by name? Well, one, he's an apostle, or a future apostle. He's not an apostle yet. And he is the lesser known of a brother tandem. He has a very, very famous brother. And his brother is Simon Peter. Andrew is usually one we think of in the background. Andrew was the one who we will read later as we look at the feeding of the 5,000. Andrew's the one who discovers that there is a lad with the fish and the loaves that Jesus will then use to do the feeding of the 5,000. And Andrew is the one who speaks up. So Andrew is seen as a helper and not so much as the bold leader that Peter is. Peter will be bold enough to get out of the boat and try to walk on the water. Peter will be one who is very, very bold in so many instances, but perhaps the most important thing that we see Peter do is be the chosen one by God to preach the Pentecostal sermon. The sermon at Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and after his ascension, waiting for the gift of the Holy Ghost, just as John the Baptist said would occur through Jesus Christ, Simon Peter is the one who is the main preacher in the first days of the church. The first part of the book of Acts is all about Simon Peter. But who's the first of the two brothers to find out about Jesus Christ? It's not Peter who has to tell Andrew about him. It's the other way around. I thought that there have been many, this is something that just I want to share with you, a thought. There have been many great, great preachers in the history of the church, in all of history. You know, people like Charles Spurgeon, or people with the outreach of someone like Billy Graham. You know, people who have just reached millions and millions and millions of people. There are some who are reaching millions today. They're phenomenal. And many times when you study their life, you will find that their call into service of following Jesus Christ came in a rather ordinary way. It was not the most, that they weren't converted by the most spectacular evangelist, and then they carried on a spectacular ministry of evangelism. Oftentimes it was a very ordinary person. God works with the ordinary much more than he does the extraordinary. God works with the lower more than he does with the higher. He can use both and does use both. Andrew is the one who finds his own brother. And so we ought to realize that. And also, there's a good message evangelistically for us. Start at home. When you have a message to bear, start at home. Andrew finds his own brother and says, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. That's really nice to know. That the word Messiah, that's a Hebrew word, and then the word Christ, that's a Greek word, and they both mean the same thing. So, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. So, now, a specific call. The invitation was just come and listen, but now, we find that there is the invitation of Andrew for Peter to come. He brought him, that is, he brought his brother, Andrew brought his brother Peter, to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the Messiah. That's why. He wants to share that great thing. Now, when Jesus looked at him, Peter, actually, right now we could say when he looks at Simon, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You are Simon. That's the name your father Jonah gave you. He did not call you Cephas, an Aramaic term. He did not call you Peter, a Greek term. He called you Simon. But I'm going to give you a different name. I'm going to call you Cephas." And he will also call him the other name, Peter, because they both mean the same thing, just different languages. Aramaic, Cephas. Peter, more Greek. And Peter and Cephas mean a stone, or another way to put it is a rock. So Peter has not preached at Pentecost yet. Peter hasn't walked on water yet. Peter hasn't done anything other than be a fisherman yet. But as far as God's concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, he is who he is going to become. I can call him at the very opening call I can call you Cephas. I can call you a rock. And it's important that Peter understand this, because Peter is going to be asked, leave your fishing nets. You're going to be a fisher of men. You're going to be a preacher of Jesus Christ and his ministry. You, like your teacher, John the Baptist, will say to other people, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And you're going to do it so boldly and with such power that you will be known as a rock, a foundational stone of the church. The church is built upon Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and the apostles. We're built on both. And Peter is known at the very beginning as the rock. It reminds me of John chapter 15, verse 16, which says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. God knows what he's doing. He knows all about us. Jeremiah, the prophet, was known before he was in his mother's womb to be a prophet. God knows the end from the beginning, and he knows the ministry of Peter, and he is calling Peter to serve. You did not choose me, I chose you. What did you choose him to do? To do what John the Baptist did. Behold the Lamb of God. And as we close, I want to say that to you. Behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. And come and see. I want you to think about the title and the invitation, and to understand Jesus invites us to learn more about him. And as we do, we begin to see that he is everything we need. There is no one who can do for us what Jesus has done for us. May God add his blessings. We'll see you next week in the study of God's Word. Bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, this is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study. The Primitive Baptists who bring you this program each week do so with the following conviction. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It is our guide for what we are to believe, and it is our guide for what we are to do. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he is to be followed as Lord and Savior. And we believe that his salvation is a free gift of God's sovereign grace, not dependent on any work that we do, but wholly dependent on his finished work done on our behalf. We present this weekly Bible study based on the premise of Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you would like to contribute to the furtherance of this program, then send your donation to this address: The Lighthouse, Post Office Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia 31515. That's The Lighthouse, Post Office Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia 31515. Or if you want to send a question or a comment to us, you can also send your correspondence to that address. We also have a webpage where you can access all our programs as well as other helpful information. It can be found at Lighthouse Bible Study. That's just one word and all in lowercase, lighthousebiblestudy.org. Until next week, may God light your world.